180 degrees, new direction. Good morning, Local 304, in particular my branch in Columbus, Ohio. Today is a national day of observance, and I'm going to take a minute or two, well, 14 to be exact, and break that down so that our new members can understand exactly what's transpiring today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to treat this podcast as if I was still in office. I was still in office, and I was addressing all the stewards in Columbus to advise them. This is what a Ken Hodge training session would be like. I would advise all the stewards. First thing is, we need to understand what's going to take place today so that we can intelligently advise our members. I'm going to be speaking from the Elm, and let's go to the Elm, section 519.4, National Day of Observance. 519.41 goes into the general understanding or general explanation, and it reads as follows. And it reads as follows: in the event that the Postmaster General or designee determines that the Postal Service will participate in a National Day of Observance, for example, National Day of Mourning, subsequent to the declaration of a National Day of Observance by executive order of the President of the United States, administrative leave is granted to employees. Now, the policy shown below, and again, I'm reading directly from the Elm. The policy shown below applies to executive and administrative schedule EAS employees, postal career executive, your PCs employees, and other employees not covered by union agreements concerning the National Day of Observance, and is consistent with the agreement developed for that purpose. Employees in the following unions should refer to the Memorandum of Understanding between the Postal Service and their union regarding the regulations for National Day of Observance. The following unions are: American Postal Workers Union, National Association of Letter Carriers, National Postal Mail Handlers Union, National Rural Letter Carriers Association, and Fraternal Order of Police for the National Labor Council. Now, who's entitled to that leave? Now, again, I've seen a lot of posts on the websites explaining that, but I'm going to come out of the Elm again. I'm still in section 519. 519.42 talks about leave being granted. 519.421, well, full-time employees are eligible for administrative leave. Full-time employees whose basic work week include the National Day of Observance are granted administrative leave as follows. Now again, I'm talking to all the regulars, whether you are clerk or carrier. If you are clerk, carrier, or mail handler. Those with the National Day of Observance as a scheduled day, if not directed to work, are granted administrative leave for that day. And it's very important that you read and understand if not directed. Normally, we come to work unless directed not to come to work. But on a National Day of Observance, if you are not directed by your supervisor, your boss, your manager, whoever directs you for time off, if they don't specifically direct you to come to work, you can stay home and get paid for that day. If directed to report for work, or you are granted a day of administrative leave at a future date. If you are directed to come to work, you are granted a day of administrative leave at a future date for the number of hours equal to their regular work day. Those with the National Day of Observance as a non-scheduled work day, if not directed to report for work, again, that's very important. If no one told you to come to work, you have every right to stay home and get paid. Again, if the National Day of Observance as a is your non-scheduled work day, if not directed to work, you are granted a day of administrative leave at a future date for the number of hours equal to their regular work day. If directed to report to work, you are granted overtime pay, if eligible, plus a day of administrative leave in the future. So if tomorrow's your day off and they told you to come to work, you get your overtime and you still are owed a day of administrative leave in the future. Now, the next couple of categories that they address with respect to administrative leave for National Days of Mourning are your part-time regulars, which we don't have any in Columbus. Your part-time flexibles, we don't have any of those in the plan either. And transitional employees. And it says, transitional employees receive pay only for actual work hours performed on the National Day of Observance. They are not granted administrative leave. Again, and I'm very serious when I say this, that addresses transitional employees, because we're going to come back to that. 519, it continues to read, employees on paid leave. Employees on paid leave on the National Day of Observance receive administrative leave on that day in lieu of requested leave for up to the number of hours equal to the employee's regular work day. So if you're on vacation and you have 40 hours of annual leave, well, on tomorrow, one of your days of annual leave should be credited back to you, and the agency should put you in for administrative leave. You do not have that day to use later, because it states employees on paid leave on the National Day of Observance receive administrative leave on that day in lieu of requested leave. Now, again, let's continue to read. The next category we address is employees on continuation of pay, Office of Workers' Compensation Program pay, and leave without pay. Employees on COP and employees on leave without pay not associated with the Workmen's Compensation Program on the National Day of Observance are granted a day of administrative leave up to 8 hours. Very important. Employees working part days on the National Day of Observance as a result of an injury on duty, what we would also call an IOD or a limited duty, receives administrative leave equals to the hours normally worked. Employees not working as a result of injured on duty and employees on OWCP pay for the National Day of Observance are not granted administrative leave. So if you are out injured on duty, you're not entitled to administrative leave. Employees absent without leave, suspended, or pending removal. Employees absent without leave, AWOL, suspended, or pending removals on the National Day of Observance are not granted administrative leave. But then there's a note, and that note says, an employee returned to duty and made whole for a period of AWOL, suspension, or removal may be eligible for administrative leave for the National Day of Observance, consistent with the rule of the provisions of 519.4. For that employee's group, if the period of suspension or removal for which the employee is considered to have taken made whole includes that day. So if you have a grievance resolution and part of it is make the mail handler or make the employee whole, if that day of the National Day of Observance was a part of those days, you are now entitled to that administrative leave also. Let us continue. 519.428. Employees not eligible for administrative leave. Now, very important. Individuals not eligible for administrative leave include the following: postmaster relief employees, rural carrier relief employees, substitute rural carrier employees, and rural carrier's associate employees who are not in leave earning positions, temporary employee, non-career officer in charge, employee, and contractors. And the reason I put a little emphasis on temporary employees, on the top of the page, it talks about transitional employees. Now we talk about temporary employees. So I would raise the question, is an MHA a temporary employee? What classification does an MHA actually fall under? We understand they're non-career, but when I talk about individuals not eligible for administrative leave, we talk about postmaster relief, roll carrier relief, substitute roll carrier employee, temporary employees, non-career officer in charge employee, and contractors. Now, we can get back to that. That's a subject for another topic, where that MHA falls in this in the hierarchy. Now, 519.43, we just read, and I hope I explained, if you are directed to come to work, you come to work, and then you are owed or you have a day of administrative leave in the bank. 519.43 addresses that. Administrative leave is to be taken at a future date. Note, it starts off with, must be granted and used within 6 months of the National Day of Observance or by the end of the fiscal year, whichever is later. So, you know, our fiscal year, actually a fiscal year starts in, October, September? But fiscal year, not calendar year. But in this case, we have to the end of the fiscal year or 6 months. But it starts off with must be granted. Note, administrative leave is not granted to an employee who is on extended leave for the entire period between the day of observance and 6 months from that date, or between the day of observance and the end of the fiscal year, whichever is later. So even though you earned that leave, if you fell into one of the aforementioned categories, if your absence from work is during the entire period plus 6 months or the end of the fiscal year, if you're still out of work, then you forfeit that day. May, at the employee's option, be substituted for previously scheduled leave, but not used annual leave. So if I've got leave scheduled, I can actually, now again, previously scheduled, I can substitute that day for an administrative day. Should be requested by using the same procedures that govern the request and approval of annual leave consistent with 512.41 and 512.42, again, of the ELM. And I'm going to drift right over to those sections, and we're going to talk about them just for a minute also. 512.4 talks about authorizing annual leave. 512.41, request for annual leave. And then 512.411, except for emergencies, annual leave for all employees, except postmasters, must be requested on PS Form 3971 and approved in advance by the appropriate supervisor. Leave requests from rural carriers must be approved in accordance with Article 10 of the USPS NRLCA NASA agreement. Then we talk about emergency uses for leave, which now falls into an FMLA category. 512.42, request or notification of leave. Purpose, request for annual leave is made in writing and duplicate on PS Form 3971. Approval or disapproval, the supervisor is responsible for approving or disapproving the request for annual leave by signing PS Form 3971, a copy of which is given to the employee. If a supervisor does not approve a request for leave, the disapproved block on the PS Form 3971 is checked and the reason given in writing in the space that's provided. When a request is disapproved, the granting of any alternate type of leave, if any, must be noted along with the reason for disapproval. AWOL determinations must be similarly noted. Now, what I'm saying to you is, nowhere on here do I see that because you are owed a day of administrative leave, do the post office get to reject that? Again, when we start talking about, I'm sorry, let me find my section here real quick. When we start talking about annual leave, the first line that I read to you was, it's going to be 519.43, must be granted and used. Now, and I only say that because when we have administrative leave owed to us and you start putting in 3971s and they start to be disapproved, I would definitely want to take that issue up with a union official. So, in short, tomorrow's a day of observance. Again, if for our president who's passed away, former president who's passed away, may the creator greet him with kindness and warmth. But more importantly, there's a situation that I hope I was adequate in my attempt to explain it. Again, if I was in office, this is the type of ongoing training that I would have had with my stewards and I had with the stewards when I was in office. This is the type of training that allows all stewards to get on the same sheet of music. So when we go out and address our employees, everybody is saying the same thing. And when all the stewards are on the same sheet of music and we address our employees with the same message, again, that's how power begins. That's how we start to understand that I can bring items or issues to my stewards and they have the resources, they have the knowledge, they have the ability to answer my questions and address my issues. Hey, this is Kenny Hodge, branch president of Columbus, Ohio, and as always, soon to be your local president with a short podcast on what one of my training sessions with my stewards would have been like. Have a great day, and let's move the mail.
Now, let's have food and entertainment.